God is this God who keeps his promises. Why aren't things working out for me?
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This week's message is another in Pastor Brian Grant's series of messages taken from the life of Abraham as recorded primarily in the book of Genesis. In the first part of this message, which we will hear this evening, a message entitled Living by Faith, Pastor Grant explains how there are three things that must not be missed if we are to truly live by faith and experience all the goodness of God's promises. He also explores the question which some may be asking, if God keeps his promises, why aren't things working out for me? So if you have your Bible with you, please turn with us then to Genesis chapter 21 and listen as Pastor Grant brings the first part of this message entitled Living by Faith. Here now is Pastor Grant.
A bishop's car ran out of gas, and his wife remembered that they had just passed a gas station half a mile up the road. So the bishop got out the car. He searched his trunk for a container to get some gas. The only thing he could find was his grandson's potty. So he took the potty, went up to the gas station, filled it with gas, came back to the car, and started carefully pouring the contents of the potty into the gas tank. Almost as soon as he started, a man who had thought of joining the church, he saw them pouring the gas. He saw them pouring this thing from the potty. Well, he didn't really see what was going on. He saw them by the wayside. But so he stopped, and he was coming to help. And as he approached them, he was really shocked. He was blown away. The bishop was pouring the contents of a potty into the gas tank. The man was so shocked. He said, "My goodness, if I knew he had faith like that, I would have joined his church." I want to talk this morning about living by faith. We've been going through the life of Abraham, amen? And this morning we are at Genesis chapter 21. And in Genesis chapter 21, Abraham, who had been living by faith, his faith was finally rewarded. That's the first thing I want to talk to you this morning about, the rewards of faith. The rewards of faith. And as we talk about the rewards of faith, there are three things about God that I want to point out to you. Three things about God that I see in Genesis 21 that I don't want us to miss. The first thing that I don't want us to miss is that God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. Do I hear somebody saying amen? Amen. In Genesis chapter 21, verse 1, we read, "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken." I want you to know that God is an on-time God. Amen? God keeps his promises. We live in a world so full of people who don't keep promises that sometimes it's hard for us to believe that anyone does. But God, our God, he keeps his promises. Are you glad about that? But before I move on, there are two common questions that some Christians have that I want to answer. Because I can hear somebody sitting down here. In fact, this week I had this question asked of me, that somebody is really bothered. If God is this God who keeps his promises, why aren't things working out for me? Have you ever thought that way? If God keeps his promises, why aren't things working out for me? Doesn't he make a big promise in Romans chapter 8? In fact, let's look there in Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29, because God makes a huge promise in Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. And this is a passage of scripture that every believer ought to have marked and underlined and memorized. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, God makes this promise, and the Apostle Paul says, "We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." We know that what? All things are working together for good to those who love God. Oh, you say, Pastor, are you sure of that? I don't want you to miss, though, what verse 29 says, because verse 29 says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Brothers and sisters in Christ, don't miss verse 29, because verse 29 tells you what God is up to. Verse 28 says, "We know everything is working together for our good." But look at what the good is. He says, listen, because God has a grand plan. God's grand objective is to conform us into the image of Christ. Don't miss that. God's grand objective is to conform us into the image of Christ, whom he foreknew, he has also predestined. God has made a decision in advance that we are going to be conformed to the image of Christ. Now, I know some of you said, "Pastor, I'll be quite happy to be conformed into the image of Michelle Obama. She's such a woman of grace. I'd be satisfied just to be like Mrs. Obama." But listen, that's not God's plan. God's objective is to do something. And brothers and sisters, what could be better than for you and I to be like Jesus? Do you really mean that? Do you really want to be like Jesus? That's what God's objective is. And God says he is working all things to the good of us, because everything is working together to make us like Jesus. I don't want you to miss that. You see, we want everything to work together so we have a nice, easy life. But no, God says things are working together, because all things are working together to bring us to be like Jesus. God's grand objective is to make me like Jesus. He said, "But Pastor, why can't I get a break? Why do I have to have so much challenge and difficulty?" A little over 10 years ago, my wife and I, we were traveling in Normandy, France. I think those of you who know your history, you know that Normandy is where the Allies landed in World War II. You remember the Germans had entrenched themselves in France. And the Allies decided to get into Europe. And the way they got into Europe was through Normandy. And you've seen the movies with the landing on the Normandy beaches, etc., etc. So here we were in Normandy, France. And our tour guide was a law professor. He had resigned and decided to become a tour guide. Because as he said to us, "I wanted to show my American friends my beloved Normandy." So this law professor, he left being the law, and he decided to be a tour guide, and he was our tour guide. And when the war broke out, he was a young boy, and in fact, one of the German bombers, the shrapnel from one of the bombings had gone through his neck, but that's not the story I want to tell you. That's for another message. But in his talk, he told us about his hometown. His hometown was Caen, C-A-E-N. Caen, France. And he told us that the Americans and the Allies bombed Caen so badly that 90% of Caen was destroyed. The Germans tried to get the French people to turn against the Americans and the Allies, and they said, "Look what they have done to your city. They have totally destroyed the place. 90% is destroyed." I said to him, So what did the French people do? He said, Brian, we realized that if you're going to make an omelet, you have got to break some eggs. They realized that before what they wanted could happen, before freedom could happen, before they could build the city and the society they wanted, a few eggs had to be broken. The place had to be destroyed so that the enemy could be uprooted. And I want you to know, brothers and sisters, for God, you see, sometimes we have no idea how terrible we are because of the fall. Sometimes we look at ourselves and we say, we look so good. We have no idea the damage that sin has done. And God is saying to you, and he's saying to me, if I am to conform you into the image of Christ, I have got to break some eggs. So this Tuesday we talked about Moses. You remember, Moses was a prince. He grew up as a prince in Pharaoh's house. And we learned on Tuesday night that Moses thought, Acts chapter 7 tells us that Moses thought that he was going to deliver Israel. Because after all, he was a great champion. He was a man of courage. And he felt that he was going to deliver Israel. And so when he was 40 years old, he decided to start this deliverance. And you remember what he did and how he tried. He killed one Egyptian who was taking advantage of an Israeli. And then the next day, he went out and he saw two Israelis fighting, two Jews fighting, and he intervened. He thought he was going to be the deliverer. But God had not finished breaking the eggs. And God sent Moses into the wilderness for 40 years. So 40 years he lived thinking he was all that, that he was really prepared to deliver the Jews. But God sent him to the desert for another 40 years so that he could learn humility, because it was God's desire not for him to glory in his strength. Let no man glory in his strength, but let him that glory in the Lord. Amen.
Please stay tuned for the conclusion of today's message. On Sunday, April 9th through Sunday, May 7th, Pastor Grant will be presenting a series of messages based on the book, The Case for Christ. This is the true story of an award-winning investigative journalist and avowed atheist who applies his well-honed journalistic and legal skills to disprove the newfound Christian faith of his wife with unexpected life-altering results. Join us each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. as Pastor Grant presents a Bible-based message integrating historical, reasoned, and evidential basis for our Christian faith. And now we rejoin Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
So by the time God was finished with Moses, we read in Numbers chapter 12, verse number 3, that Moses was the meekest man and he was the most humble man who lived on the face of the earth. Do you realize that's what Numbers 12 said? God had done a job on Moses. God had broken some eggs. And I want you to know, my friend, listen, God is keeping his promises. But for God to keep his promises, things aren't always going to look good. But I want you to know that God, listen, I want you to know that things are. Are you with me? If you know Jesus, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I want you to grab a hold of this morning. God is working everything out to your good. All the drama in your life, God is working it out to your good. He is conforming you into the image of Christ. And of course, sometimes we decide to resist and we decide we're going to do our thing. Listen, if you do that, that's okay, because he's going to come back again and somehow he's going to get you there. Somebody say amen. He is eventually going to get you there. No, the job, of course, never gets ended till we get to heaven. Amen. But he's working. God is at work. God is at work. Are you glad God is working? Can you trust him? Can you trust him? Can you trust him? Can you say, oh God, despite all the drama in my life, I am going to trust you because you are at work and you are doing something majestic and magnificent in my life. But you know, a second question that Christians sometimes ask me, and sometimes not only the Christians, sometimes the ungodly will say this to me, and they'll say, Brother Brian, listen, it's good for you to tell me all that, but Jesus promised he's coming back. He said he's preparing a place for us. Oh, in fact, I wondered this myself when I was a youngster. 2,000 years have gone. Are you sure this thing is for real? You ever heard anybody ask that question? You ever asked that question? Is this thing for real? Can we really trust him? Does he really keep his promises 2,000 years? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 3. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Nothing has changed, for this they willingly forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that men that then existed perishing, being flooded with water, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire unto the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. What does that verse say? One day is what? God's clock doesn't work like yours. He's out of time. Amen. The Lord is not slack or slow. Listen, my brothers and sisters, God is not slow. God is not slow concerning his promise, as some people count slowness or slackness, but God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So why has Jesus returned yet? Jesus has not returned yet because God is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish. He's giving people an opportunity for salvation. I wonder if I'm talking to somebody here who needed to hear that. I believe there's possible a man or a woman in this audience this morning who you're still not saved. You have not come to Jesus. You have not asked the Lord Jesus Christ to become your Lord, your Master, your Savior. And God is long-suffering to you. The reason he hasn't come yet is because he's giving you this opportunity today. Oh, I pray, it is our prayer that you will seize this opportunity. Teenager, young person, seize the opportunity to come to know Jesus Christ. By the way, if I had the time, I'd preach another side of this message because it's interesting. He says it's long-suffering to usward. He's speaking to Christians. God is long. Listen, do you realize that part of what God is up to? He's giving some of us as Christians an opportunity to get involved in the soul-winning business. Do you see that in that verse? Those of us who are sitting on the bench and you're not in the soul winning business, part of what is happening is that God is long suffering to you and me. He's giving us an opportunity to get involved in soul winning. Brother and sister, seize the day. Amen. But let me move on. The rewards of faith. Three things about God. One, God keeps his promises. But secondly, God rewards patience. God rewards patience. Abraham had been waiting 25 years for this son. And now finally God had answered. And I'm here this morning because God has sent into this house this morning somebody who needs to hear that. Somebody who needed to hear that God rewards patience. Somebody who was about to give up. Somebody who was about to give up praying for that child or that relative. Somebody who was about to give up praying for that spouse. Somebody who was about to give up on that marriage. Somebody here this morning needs to hear the word of God. God rewards patience. Some Sunday school teacher, some ministry leader, some ministry involved person who was going to give up because it seems like nothing is happening. For 10 years, missionaries Robert and Mary Moffat labored in the country that's now called Botswana. I think then it was Bakunaland. For 10 years they ministered, and after 10 years, not one person had come to Christ. The missions board that had sent them by now felt that this was a mistake and was encouraging them to come back, but the Moffats felt determined, and the Moffats felt that God had sent them to Botswana for a purpose, that God had a plan, and so they stayed. Shortly after, one of their friends in England sent them a message that she wanted to send them a special gift. And she asked them, what did they want? Listen to this. Mrs. Moffat responded through the intermediary or through the mail. Mrs. Moffat said to them, send us a communion set. Because we believe that very soon we will need a communion set. The communion set got held up in the mail. And while the communion set was on the way, come on somebody, 6 people got saved. The communion set was on the way. 6 people got saved. By the time the communion set got there, that very next Sunday, the Moffats and their 6 converts formed the first Christian church in Botswana and celebrated communion. God had rewarded their patience. Here's a key verse to remember. I shared this a week ago with a group, and I'm going to put it up on the board. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. You know, there are some verses in the Bible you really ought to memorize, because there are some verses that sometimes you got to grab a hold of. And I just want you to know, ministry worker, whatever it is, here's what it says. Galatians 6, 9. Don't get weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you do not lose heart. Don't get weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you do not lose heart. Can you say amen?
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I am a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that, and mean it, God will hear you, and He will answer your prayer, and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. Or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you to tune in the same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.